You know, the Bible teaches me and all of us that will read it closely that God has a message in it. It's not just another book. It's not just a book that we read and enjoy reading. I once in a while will read a new book, and I enjoy that. But when I read God's book, it is a different thing altogether. It is not like the things of the world. It is not like the books of the world. And have you ever wondered how it could be so? Have you ever wondered how we got the Bible? And I don't mean to trace the scrolls and all of that today. I'm going to talk a little bit about inspiration. And I'm going to talk about how God gave that to man. And I want to begin by asking you to turn your Bibles. And I'll just be using the Bible this morning, so I don't plan on using the overhead today, at least. I want you to turn to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, if there were ever a golden text of learning about the church, this would be it. It's my belief that if we would all preach that passage and that message, that we'd all be preaching the same thing all over the land. Now, start off with me in verse 1 of chapter 4 and notice what Paul says. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all meekness and lowliness, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now that, my friends, is what the Bible says. Yet there are countless preachers this morning that deny those very words. Now, you say, well, how do you mean that? Well, because they deny the things that are said there. And I want to start by asking the question, how did we get it? Notice what Paul says. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now, there are two possible ways. Now, possibly he was incarcerated, but he was a prisoner of the Lord in another way, in that he just had to serve God. I think you can read Paul's writings and notice that he says, I've got to serve him. I feel that way at times, not because it is an undue stress on me, but because nothing else is really important. You young people, listen to me. Nothing is important as going to heaven when you die. Nothing is as important as serving God. There is a God in heaven, and if you don't get anything else at all out of this lesson or the ones the rest of the week, know there is a God in heaven, and know there's a heaven and a hell, because that's what the Bible says. Notice that phrase again. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. The word beseech is a word that the King James Version uses, and it means I beg you. Paul says, I beg you. And I think we need more of that. We need to implore people with the idea that we're going to be before God. I implore you, be a Christian. Go to heaven. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, you've got to have the right attitude. That's the first thing Paul said after that. He says, I beseech you, therefore. And then he talks about having forbearance, loving one another, and seeking to have the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. How are we going to do that? Well, Paul says you do that by preaching these things. Did you notice that? He said that we ought to all preach there's one body and one Spirit. We ought to all preach that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And if we will all do that with the right attitude, there'll be unity, and there'll be people that are going to heaven. There'll be people that are understanding the Scripture, and they'll not be confused. But that's not what we're preaching about right now. We're preaching about how do we get it. Well, I believe that the Bible tells us, and some more of Paul's writings will enable us to understand that. I want to go next to a passage that all of you know. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now, before you say, well, preacher, I already know what that means, just give me a moment to kind of break it down a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Now, Paul has told this young preacher, Timothy, some other things, and let me give you a little background on that before we get into 16 and 17. Paul has told Timothy in other places to take heed to himself. Now, that's to all preachers, but it's not just to preachers. It's to all of you in this room. Before you're going to ever convert your neighbor, before you're going to ever convert your wife or your husband, you need to watch your own life. Take heed, therefore, to yourselves. And notice what else he says. He says, remember something. He tells him in an earlier verse to remember who you are by reminding him of the faith that's in him. He says, the faith of your grandmother and the faith of your mother. And he says, remember who you're. It's kind of like on Saturday night. I used to go out when I was a boy. And I had an old car. And Daddy had worked hard at the shoe factory to pay for that thing. He let me claim it, but he really paid for it. And I remember he'd tell me, now behave yourself, son. Now there were several reasons that he was telling me that. I needed it, number one. And secondly, he didn't want me to shame him and my mother. And he wanted me to be a good boy. Nothing wrong with that. But he'd teach me that. And the only way that I would get that is to stop and think of who I was and what I ought to be acting like as a young Christian. I was a Christian boy. Now, notice with me what Paul says to Timothy now. He says, remember that you're who you are. Remember your doctrine. He says, take heed to thyself and to thy doctrine. The word doctrine means teaching. So Paul said, Timothy, you watch what you teach. Preachers need to realize there's something to what we preach. There's the idea that is in all the denominational churches all around. Well, it doesn't make any difference what doctrine you are, just as long as you're sincere. Ever hear that? Well, that's what most people believe. But the Bible tells us that doctrine is vitally important. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, Paul says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but that ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. What'd you say, Paul? Watch what you preach. And notice that doctrine was important when the church first started. In the book of Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that after they had heard that they had crucified Jesus, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 37 of Acts 2. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered and said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is unto you and to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify unto them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. But notice the next verse. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' what? Doctrine. Some other things there. But I just want you to know that doctrine is important. So Paul told Timothy, and it was there in Acts 2, to take heed to the doctrine. Be careful what you teach. In Matthew 15, verse 9, Jesus said, for in vain they do worship me, teaching for their doctrines the commandments of men. That's like saying, Jesus said, doctrine is important. Now, back to 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And if I were to start right over here with Sam and go around, I suspect 90% of you would know that that means God breathed. But how did he do it? How did God breathe that into the apostles? And I'm not going to take the time to show you that that's who he breathed it into. But if you doubt that, you can go back and notice that Jesus had promised the apostles the Holy Spirit. And that when they had that, Jesus had promised also that he would be with them. He says, fear not when you stand before kings, when you stand before men of great authority, don't worry about it because I'll put the words in your mouth. Now, he doesn't put the words in my mouth, nor Brother Dan's mouth, but he put those words in the mouths of the apostles. And when you read the Bible, you get what God wants you to do. And that's what makes it so much better than people that get up and parrot things that they've heard. Here are some things that I have heard parroted over my years as a gospel preacher. Baptism doesn't save anyone. Ever heard that? That's just a phrase that someone parroted. And when people preach, they've used that phrase. But that's not in the Bible. Just the opposite is in the Bible. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, that baptism doth also now save us. Just the opposite. I've noticed that about false doctrines. Whatever they say, the Bible says the opposite just about every time. You can find it. And so as we study that, Paul says to Timothy, take heed to thyself and to thy doctrine. Now he's saying that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, those of you who have not been in business in this room ought to go in business just once. You'll know what profit is. Profit is, of course, for those of you who may not know, profit is if you give a dollar for something and you sell it for $2, you've made what looks like a dollar profit, but it's not really a dollar profit. There's a lot more in that. But it's that, supposedly that's the profit, is you, whatever you gave for it and you sell it, well, that difference there is the profit. But did you notice he used that in that verse? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. But something strange about that. We don't want to apply that to the scripture, but let me show you something that's real important. If I came down to this town and go in to the bank there, and I noticed that you've got, you're selling CDs, and I don't have any anymore. I've spent all of mine. But if I had one, and I looked up there, and it said CDs 2%. Used to be 20% years ago when I had one or two. But 2%. And you just go in there, I go in there, and I'll say, I'd like to get my profit. Well, Brother Young, Mr. Young, you don't have any money in here. You can't get any profit because you don't have any money in here. You've not drawn any interest. Well, I want it anyway. Have you noticed that that's kind of the way people expect the Bible? I just don't understand the Bible. I've had people come to me and say, Brother Young, I just don't understand the Bible. And they never take the time to ever read it. They never take the time to open it and study it. And notice that it says it is profitable, but you got to use it. It is profitable for doctrine. If you don't know what the doctrine of Christ is, you're not going to get any profit out of it. Did you notice that? That's what it is, profitable for doctrine. The word doctrine, as I said, means teaching. And so if you want to know what the doctrine of Christ is, you're going to have to use it. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, we read, the writer says, when for the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that someone teach you again those things which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as those which have need, he says, of milk and not strong meat. And then he says, and I'm paraphrasing this poorly, I know, but I wanted to do that. He says, which by reason of use have exercised it. You don't use it, you lose it. And it's that way in the Word of God. If you don't study it, you won't know it, and you won't go to heaven because you don't know how to act. And when some preacher comes along and tells you that baptism doesn't save anyone, you're going to believe it because you don't know any better. And on the day of judgment, it'll be just like going down here to the bank and say, I want my profit, and you've not studied enough to even know what you ought to do. I don't believe in our day of high tech, as we say, and this technology phase that we're in, that that's going to stand up when with one instant you can turn on the computer and read the Bible right out of it. We live in a wonderful time, but we have to be informed of that doctrine. But notice something else. He didn't stop there. For doctrine, for reproof. That word reproof is a word which means I am told. And I'm not a wordsmith by any stretch of the imagination. But that word means to be convicted about something or have a conviction about something. So what do we learn? That the doctrine for inspiration is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for being convicted. You want to know if you're a sinner or not? Go to the scripture. Romans 3:23 says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You wouldn't know that, really, if you hadn't studied the scripture. Oh, you say, I know I've sinned. That's not what it means. What I mean. You will not know the consequences of that sin unless you get some profit from the scripture. The Bible says in Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. You know what that means? Boys and girls, you know what that means? That means that you're going to get what you earn. And you're going to earn, listen to me, you're going to earn hell when you die. That's going to be your profit if you don't do what the Scripture says. That's very plain. The Bible says that all Scripture and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. You know what that means? That means getting back on the ball, getting back on the right track. Sometimes we get off the track, don't we? The people who are in this room, if you're not a Christian, you're on the wrong track. Let me warn you about something. You're on the wrong journey. If you keep on going like that, you're going to wake up on the other side lost. And I'm not going to back up from that. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm just going to tell you, if you wake up on the other side without the blood of Jesus on your soul, you are lost eternally. You will not be saved. You will not accidentally be saved. You will not, matter of fact, have any hope at all. Oh, that's just not politically correct. I know it. That's one of the worst things that ever happened to our country, trying to be politically correct. People all over this country think, well, I'm just as good as you are, preacher. You may be better than I am. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having the blood of Jesus Christ on your soul. And that's what it means to be correct. And correction means to know how to get right back on the track. You know, I heard it likened to this. Now, I'm going to show you how old I am. By the way, Johnny, you picked out, just like I did, you had good taste about 50 years ago, and I did too. They're sitting there together. But you know, sometimes when we get off the track, we have to have correction to get back on the track. And that's what this means, that God inspired man and shows him how to get back on track. And it reminds me of those little steering wheels on the children's cars. You know when the little children used to have the baby seats? I don't know if they do that anymore. It's been so long since we had one of them. But when we had them, I believe there was a little steering wheel on one of our car seats. And they'd watch Daddy and they'd watch Mommy driving, and they'd think they were driving. But it was teaching them nonetheless. And ladies and gentlemen, when you want to know how to get back on the track with serving God, don't look at me, don't look at Brother Terry or Brother Tommy or Brother Dan. Look at God's Word, and that'll get you back on track. That's what that says. For correction, for instruction in righteousness. Righteousness, do you know what that means? Oh yeah, well it's a compound word. It has two parts to it. It's called, if I remember from school, it has a compound derivative. It comes from two words, right and wise. The Scripture will tell you how to be right, and it will tell you how to be wise. Everything in your life can be controlled by the Scripture if you will let it. For instance, if you think it's all right to curse, just do a little reading in your Bible. If you think it's all right to run around with drunkards, just read a little in your Bible. If you think it's all right to do social drinking, just read in your Bible. It'll put you back on the right track so fast if you will follow it. It will instruct you how to be right and how to be wise. Learn something else. It doesn't stop there. The next verse, the next part of that verse, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto every good work. Now that's important. So what do we learn? We've learned that the Scripture will give us instruction in how to have the right doctrine, how to live, how to get back on track when we get off track. And now it says, so that you'll have instruction in every good work. I've had a lot of people, when I came out of liberalism several years ago, and I did, in about 1969, that's how long ago it's been, the church started trying to be like the world where I was attending, and I wasn't just a young boy, but I knew pretty quick that wasn't right when they brought in a Christmas tree. I knew pretty soon that wasn't right. I knew pretty soon when they began to, all they were thinking about was parties, I knew that wasn't right. But that's another lesson. What I'm trying to tell you is some of the things they would say is, well, it's a good work. It's a good thing. No, it's not a good work. If it has not been inspired by the Scripture, if it has not been put in there by God, if it is not in the doctrine, if it is not instruction, it's not a perfect good work. It is something that man has worked. Lord willing, I'll talk about that maybe tonight or tomorrow night. I forget which it's on. Now, so that's how we get it. But we have to be trained. When I started kindergarten, my school teacher, when I was 5 years old, her name was Margie Churchill. I still remember her smile. She was about the sweetest lady. That's the reason she was the kindergarten teacher. She just was wonderful. But she did something. She had something that were called little cards, and I have forgotten what, flashcards. Little flashcards, and she'd put those up, and we'd learn how to say cat. And we'd learn how to say dog, and we'd learn how to say the and the. Remember that? You had that too. Now they have it on computers, I'm sure. But the point I'm trying to make is I had to be taught how to speak. And then when I went away to school a little bit, I learned a little bit in college that I had to enunciate. I had to breathe deeply, and I had to do all of these things, which I never did get down very well. But the point I'm trying to make is this. I had to be taught, and before you can know what God's Word wants you to do, you have to be taught. It's kind of like Jethro. Those of you that have watched Beverly Hillbillies, he always wanted to be a streetcar conductor. Well, he didn't know how. He would have had to have been taught. And you will not know how to be a Christian by listening to some preacher that is saying, well, just accept Jesus as your own personal Savior. That's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, and you can search it from cover to cover. That's not in the Bible. And it's time that we tell the world that's not in the Bible. And notice that only the things God has revealed will make you instructed in righteousness. But we still don't know how Paul got that in Ephesians chapter 4. Let me see if I can help you a little bit more. It helps me to study this. In 1 Corinthians this time, we're going to look at chapter 2, just a few verses there. And we're going to draw some conclusions from that. And just a few minutes then, we're going to close the lesson. But I want to you to go to 1 Corinthians with me. And remember that in the 1 Corinthian letter, in the first chapter, he had warned them that they were following after man. They were following after carnal things. They were doing things that were wrong. And he was telling them that the world thinks you're crazy, essentially, is what he said to them. The wisdom of this world talks a lot about the wisdom of this world. And the wisdom of this world, when they hear you talking about that you don't drink and you don't dance and you don't curse and all these things we don't do, they say, oh, you're just crazy. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now I'm going to paraphrase this and I'm going to miss it, so you read it, but I'm going to get it pretty close. And I, Paul, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. Now, people read that and they say, well, old Paul was tongue-tied or he had a speech impediment. He may have. I don't know, but this is not talking about that. Let me show you how I know. When I came to you, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what Burl Young needs to do this week when I preach to you. I need to preach Jesus and Him crucified. And then notice the next phrase. That your faith might stand in the Word of God. Now if I preach what the Word of God says today and tonight through the rest of this week, and you believe what that says, you know what? You're not following Burl Young. You're not following Dan. You're not following Harold. You are following the Word of God. Notice it closely. And then he begins a comparison between he and the other preachers of that day. The other preachers of that day were very slick preachers. A lot of slick preachers in Paul's day. And they didn't like Paul. And they said, you know what Paul is doing? He's got, in one place, it said, well, Paul's letters are weighty, but when he gets there, he's not mighty in presence. He's weak and trembling. And Paul says, I've not come to do anything but lift up Jesus and Him crucified. And then look down at verse 9. Verse 9 is a watershed verse, as we say. Watershed from the doctrines of men and the doctrines of God. Now watch it closely. He says, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man those things which God hath revealed unto us. Now people hear that and they say, oh, that's talking about heaven. Oh, won't heaven be wonderful? Well, that's part of it maybe. It may have heaven, but that's not what that's talking about. That's talking about the revelation that he had compared to the other men that were preaching the things of this world. When people tell you how to be a weightlifter, yeah, there's a gymnast for Christ. Do you know that? When people teach you how to win a beauty contest, ladies, the Church of Christ in Mountain Home, Arkansas, had a beauty contest. Yes. And on we can go. But my point being, he says you don't learn how to follow God with your eyes. You don't learn how to follow God with your ears. You don't learn how to follow God by God just putting it into your heart. And what is one thing that the denominations constantly tell us? Well, God told me. God told me I was all right. God made me know I was saved. Let me tell you, the next verse right after that says where we are to get it. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God revealed to the apostles, and that's what He's talking about. He's talking about the apostles versus the doctrines of men. When you read your Bible today, you are reading the very mind of God. You are reading the things that the apostles wrote down. And when you compare that to the preachers of today, it sounds silly. And they think you're silly. When you say that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. But my friend, that is true. And no matter how many people declare that it's not, that doesn't change it. Now let's review. Paul says, we ought to all preach there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Let me ask you something. How many Lords are there? Well, there's just one, isn't there? What's His name? He is Jesus. As Matthew says, Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. He came to this world and He died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. They nailed Him to that cross. And that's true. But did you know I didn't learn that from going out on a starry night and looking at the stars. And I didn't learn that from the moonlight. I learned that from God's Holy Spirit that He reveals through His Word. And you know something else? If I were to ask you about that name, there's only one Lord. How many faiths are there? All the time preachers are asked, what's your faith? What faith are you of? Well, just one. That's the faith that's revealed in the Scripture. That's not talking about my conviction. That's not talking about what I think or what you think. It's talking about what God has revealed. It's in your Bible, and if it's not in your Bible, it's wrong. One baptism. Not Holy Spirit baptism. Not Holy Spirit baptism and water baptism. Just one baptism. That baptism is for the remission of sins, no matter what man says, because the Holy Spirit says it is. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. What's it for? What's it for? Well, I was baptized in this denominational church down here when I was a little... Let me tell you something. That wasn't baptism. That was something else. It might have been something you thought was baptism. But baptism is for the remission of sins. It's not because you've already been saved. Now then, let me ask you this. Do you believe what I've told you? Do you believe there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism? Do you believe there's only one way? God has revealed these things, not to me personally, but it's in your Bible. If I've said anything that's not in your Bible, you come to me after services and I will publicly get up here tonight, the Lord willing, and I will recant it. I will apologize and repent on my knees. That's how much I believe the Bible is true. You've listened to me. Now then, if you were to die today, where would you be tomorrow? If you haven't obeyed the gospel, the Bible says that Jesus is coming again. And that when He comes again, the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, and to those of you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then He says, who shall be punished with everlasting punishment from the presence of the Lord when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. If He were to come today, where would you be? Have you been baptized into Christ? Are you a Christian? You've gone astray. Come home. Even now.